Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Blues Talks. I am your host, Mr. Icy Blue, in the building. Today is Monday, March 23rd, and I would like to thank you all so much for all your support throughout my entire podcast journey. I really, really do appreciate all the love. It really means the world to me. If you haven't been here on Blues Talks before, we usually discuss things in the realm of hip-hop and music and things like that, but due to the given situation, we are going to switch things up a little bit. Today's episode is really going to lean more across the across a Q&A. I figured I would reach out on my social platforms and just ask the fans, the listeners, to submit some questions. And it didn't have to be really within the realm of hip hop. It can be whatever you'd like. And so I reached out. We got some questions. So that is what today's episode is all about. I hope everyone's doing well. I know that given the current situation with COVID, I hope everyone's staying safe and staying healthy. And make sure that you get your hand sanitizer on deck and have that with you at all times, because you never know when you're going to need it. it's definitely been a crazy week out in the world. I think California, I believe they were on lockdown, or at least San Francisco, I believe, was on lockdown. I think there are more states actually that are going to be on lockdown because of the whole COVID thing that's going around. It's quite shocking. I mean, I think a lot of people didn't expect this to happen the way it did. I mean, a few months ago, that we were all kind of like, filling in the safe zone, I guess you could say. It's been crazy. The numbers have been increasing heavily with the situation. I hope everyone stays safe out there, because it definitely is a crazy thing. in this episode, like I said, I kind of wanted to dive into some questions and just kind of do a little bit of engagement. I don't have a guest today. It's just me. And it does feel a little weird not having someone here to kind of talk to and kind of bounce off of. But hey, it's all good. I know that you guys are out there and I appreciate everything. Let's just dive right into these questions, man. All right, let's see. All right, so the first one is from, Esty. He was actually on the last podcast. We kind of talked about the coronavirus and stuff. But he says, do you think Mormons meeting at the airport is irresponsible? Okay, I should pretty much state this right now. In no way am I I'm not a medical professional. I don't know, I don't know necessarily on how safe things are and kind of what you should do in things like that. But I definitely think that, you need to be wary. I think this is definitely a time to where you should be, alert, but not really anxious. I think a lot of people are looking at what they see, online and on Facebook and everything. And I think they make their own conclusions, as to, what's going on and things like that. But I definitely think that, there are a lot of people out there who, are not on a lockdown kind of a situation, like Cali is. But I think, if you're sick or you're feeling any sort of symptoms at all, I think definitely stay inside. There's lots of options that you can look towards if you want to get into the outside world. Like for me, I'm not sick at all. I'm not feeling any symptoms, but mainly I'm still working from home, and I'm staying inside as much as I possibly can. And I'm not really going out to like events or anything like that. Not like I could, because everything seems to be closed, but, I think that, you know, if people are going to go, especially at the airport of all places, where I think a lot of, you know, distancing from people is very, very hard. But I think, just in regards to your question, I don't necessarily think that it's irresponsible. I wouldn't go, I don't know if I would go that far as to say, like, it's an irresponsible thing, for them to meet and, you know, congratulate their families for coming home and things like that. I think that if, you know, if one of them was possibly feeling symptoms, then I think, you know, possibly, then yeah, I think, you know, it may be a little irresponsible for you to go out to the airport, but I don't know. I don't know if those people are sick. I don't know. I don't know the actual situation there. But I think, to answer your question, no, I don't think that they're being irresponsible by meeting people at the airport, because, you know, the airport is still, I think, you know, it's still up and running. I still hear planes go over my house every 5 minutes, but, but yeah, I do not think that they are irresponsible for that. it's crazy when you have people who are super, super paranoid about everything, and they don't necessarily know how to handle it or really how to take it. But I think people are still going to do what they want to do. I don't think it's really going to stop a lot of people from doing what they want, unless, you know, something is specifically closed. But, you know, I'm all for, you know, showing support to your loved ones and getting out there and seeing them. So, but, you know, that could go so many different ways. Moving on here, the next question, okay, the next question is from, we'll call him Andrew, and he asked, when will Dr. Grimm release his new album? For those of you who do not know, Dr. Grimm is a fantastic artist. He is an amazing, amazing lyricist, and I've had the great blessing of being able to work with him and be his friend. As to far when he releases the album, I don't know. I hope he does it soon. I believe he does have his studio back up and running. And I know he's been doing a little bit of work, and I know that we're supposed to collab on something soon. Hopefully, you know, sooner than later. But, you know, as I said, given the current situation, it does make it pretty hard, you know, to get things done. Even myself, I've been kind of on the back burner for music a little bit, and not necessarily due to, you know, issues with me at all, but my engineer was told to, you know, do a quarantine for him and his family over the next couple of weeks. So that's why I haven't been in the studio, but I don't know what Graham's situation is. He may be... you know, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Maybe you should hit him up. Hit him up on Facebook and on his, like, Facebook page and see what's going on. But yeah, if you guys don't know, though, I mean, really, check out Dr. Grimm. I mean, the dude is phenomenal. Like, he's such a good lyricist and a good rapper, and definitely a great musician all around. He definitely a good guy. Appreciate him for sure. All right, so this next question is from Tyler. Tyler asks, what's the fastest verse you've ever written? The fastest verse I've ever written. That's hard. That's a hard one. I'm trying to, like, think about my library and kind of what's, because I've definitely done a lot of fast verses in my day, but I mean, they've been fast to other people, but they were never fast to me. Like, I always felt that, like, there were a lot of rappers who could rap a lot faster than I ever could. But man, okay, hold on, I'm trying to think about fast verses that I've written. And usually, as I've progressed as an artist and how I've kind of evolved, I've kind of strayed away from doing like crazy, crazy fast raps. Not because I don't like to do them, because I definitely do. I think they're really, really cool. But I just find different styles a little bit easier. Okay, so probably the fastest verse I've ever written would probably be either it's a toss up between no, actually, you know what? No, it will probably be a song I did on my album Lyricide. I did that back in 2013, and it was a song called Far From Average. It had Underestimated on it, it had Playboy the Beast on it, and it had Liquid Assassin on it. And we went ham. We went ham on that song, and it was definitely a chopper kind of style. I think a good tie for second would be either Lyricide, which was featuring JLB Hood on Strange Music, or it would be a song I did called Cannibalism, and that was featuring Season and Playboy the Beast as well. But I definitely think the fastest would be Far From Average. If you guys have not checked out that song or checked out that album, I definitely encourage you to do so. You can actually find it on my Bandcamp, which is Icy Blue, and that's icyblu.bandcamp.com. The album's called Lyricide. You'll see my little smug face there. But yeah, I think that was definitely the fastest verse I've ever written. I remember when I was writing it, like I knew that I wanted it to be like a chopper kind of a sound. You know what? Let me see if I can pull it up here a little bit, and kind of see, if we can kind of hear, because I haven't listened to this in so long. It's been forever, but let's see what we got here. Oh yeah, here we go. This is it, guys. This is this was it. Let me see if I can.
It really is. It really is.
I want to do the whole thing. That was under E. Yeah, here we go. That's mine. Like, I don't know, it doesn't seem that fast now that I listen to it, but God, let me tell you, when I was rapping it, it definitely seemed like it was fast. But yeah, probably the fastest verse I've probably ever written. I don't think there's another one that's faster. But yeah, thank you so much, Tyler, for your question. It's a good one. So next one is Mike asks, do you think the world is ending? Very broad question. Short answer, no. I don't think that the world is ending. I think that we, as you know, a human race, or you know, just really the Earth itself, I think has been through so much that it's resilient to a lot of things. And I think disease and sickness is one of those. I don't know about other states, but here in Utah, we recently just had earthquakes. It's funny because, like, a lot of people don't, or at least here in Utah, a lot of people in Utah are not really used to earthquakes at all. And granted, I'm not either, but I do remember I experienced an earthquake when I was 15. So, I mean, I have an experience of kind of what that is like. So I guess it didn't really freak me out as much. But for a lot of people here in Utah, they've never had an earthquake before, so they're kind of just like, whoa, kind of like, what was that, and why is the earth shaking? They're just not used to it, which is understandable. I think they're going to, they're going to feel how they feel about the first time they feel a quake. I remember when it happened. I actually, you know what, I think the quake hit me in my dream. So I remember I was dreaming that I was in an office and I was like working. And I remember I was sitting there and I was typing something up on the computer and I felt like almost like a presence, but I could feel like the air had gotten a little bit like behind. There was something behind me. Like, I guess the air was like pushing, but then I felt that somebody came in and just started shaking the shit out of my chair. Right after that, I woke up and like my entire house was shaking. And literally the first thing that I did, I hopped out of bed and I went and grabbed my TV because I saw it wobbling. So I just grabbed my TV and I'm sitting there just shaking with it. Like, oh my God, what is happening here? Because honestly, man, if you guys know, I mean, if you guys can see my TV, it's like a pretty big TV and there's no way that I am going to buy a brand new TV in this day and age, because I just don't have the money for that. So I need to make sure that my TV is established. Anything else, like, I mean, I don't really care. Like, you know, let things fall down, that's fine. But as long as my TV's safe and, like, my dog is cool. My dog was just sitting there chilling with his head wobbling just back and forth. And he was just, you know, he didn't really care that much. But, yeah, that was my main concern. But given the lighter situations, even with the COVID stuff and even with the earthquake stuff, I do not think that the world is ending. I think that a lot of this stuff is just natural things that happen, man. Like, I mean, we've been through so many different diseases in our day, and we've experienced a lot of stuff happen in the earth, like in the earth's time. So no, I do not think that the world is ending. I think we will definitely live to see another day, but I could be wrong. We could be all fucked tomorrow. So who knows? moving on here. Let's see. Jennifer asks, how do you do your podcast? Good question. I've actually been asked this quite a few times. People always wonder like, oh, like what's your setup like? And like, you know, how do you export the files and all this stuff? Okay. Bypass all that. I have a really, really simple way of doing my podcast. So there's actually an app. And of course, there's an app. There's an app for everything. It's 2020. But I actually have an app, and it's called Anchor. Anchor is it's an application to where you can make your own podcast. And you can have all the recordings saved into your account, like on that application. And it's really, really cool. They have a lot of cool stuff when it comes to, Anchor. I think that, there's a lot of things that you can do. Like you can find out on how to like make your podcast. So you can like get like show structure and find out about recordings and things like that. And you can also find, other cool podcasts to listen to, and you can actually find podcast ideas. So if like a podcast is something that you're wanting to get into, you can get ideas on kind of what you would want to do. There's lots of things that you can do. I'm definitely going to broaden my podcast up here coming soon to kind of different elements and kind of do different things because everyone's different. They like to talk about different stuff. But yeah, it's really cool. So you can have like, so when you do your podcast, like on your episodes, you can have like, they have pre-made background music that you can put in during the podcast. I am with my journey here. I'm just starting without the background music because I like that feel of just not having something in the background. I like to have a very, vocal kind of a sound to this one, at least for this series of podcasts. But yeah, that's something you can do. You can add background music, you can do intros, you can do a lot of cool stuff, and you can also activate sponsorships as well. So you can get matched with like different brands, and you can do sponsored messages to include in your podcast, and you can actually get paid when people listen. And that's something that I think is really, really cool. You can also have another thing that's really cool, and it's called listener support. That's pretty much where you can accept monthly recurring donations directly from like all of your listeners. So that's definitely something that's really cool. They have a lot of cool like analytics in there, so you can kind of see how your podcast is doing. You can see like your top episodes, You can see you can see how many plays it has, of course. You can see geographic regions. You can see if it's in the U.S. or Spain or, you know, Australia, wherever. And it's actually really, really cool. I really like Anchor a lot. So if you're somebody who wants to get into podcasts, I definitely recommend using Anchor. I think it's really, really dope. So yeah, that's how I do it. And I don't have like a mic or anything. I literally just do all the recording on my phone. So they have like a little button there that just you hit record and boom, starts recording, and then you're good to go. There's also a thing to where if you have a lot of listeners, you can actually start like a I can't remember the word, but it's like a party. It's like a little join party to where listeners who have Anchor as well can come on into your podcast, and they can be kind of broadcasting at the same time. So you can kind of be doing two podcasts at once. So I think it's pretty cool. But yeah, that's how I do it. So I just do it all from my phone. And as soon as the podcast is done, I literally can, you know, hit stop. And then I kind of just, you know, name the segment and boom, just start putting it on all my social platforms. So that's how I do the podcast. I think it's really, really cool. I'm glad I did it. All right. So moving on here. Okay. So Kareem asks, have you gotten any new puzzles? Okay. So for those of you who know, those of you who don't know, I should say, I'm really big into like, puzzles, not necessarily like jigsaw puzzles or anything like that. But I'm into kind of, there are little metal puzzles. There's metal ones, there's wood ones, but they're all really, really different. And they're really, really cool. I'll tell you a little story about, how all of this actually got started. So it got started at work. I worked at a call center, and I worked for Netflix, and I had always seen people have Rubik's Cubes lying around, and I had never, like, been able to solve one. I didn't really care when I was growing up, but then I got to the point to where my buddy had one, my buddy Tate had one, and so did my buddy On Point, and they were... They could always do them super, super quick. And I was like, man, you know what? I think I can do it. I think I can actually learn how to do this Rubik's Cube. And so I spent like the next 2 to 3 weeks just like at work when I was doing work, just practicing on how to do the Rubik's Cube. Eventually I got it. I was so, so happy that I got it. I was overjoyed. Because it was something like, you ever have those things to where like it, you have something that seems so impossible, there's no way that you could ever do it. But then you finally do it. Just that actual satisfaction was so nice. And, it kind of stopped there. And so I was really big on cubes there for a minute. So I was like finding cubes that looked different. I was finding ones that had like, different colors and things like that. And I had tried to graduate to like the bigger cubes, like because normal ones are 3x3. I tried to do like a 4x4 and stuff like that, but that was just too much. I was happy enough that I could do a 3x3 and solve it. I did learn how to solve a 2x2, which wasn't more difficult than the 3x3, so I think that's why I could have solved it. But it was like that for a while, where I was just kind of playing around with Rubik's Cubes at work. And then one day, when I was working, there was one of my peers. Her name was Jessie. Shout out, Jessie. She had this little, it's this little metal cylinder looking thing, and you could like twist it. And it didn't look like a puzzle. I thought it was something that broke off something. I was like, so I asked her, I was like, hey man, what the hell is this? And she's like, oh, it's a puzzle. And I looked at her, I was like, a puzzle? What do you mean a puzzle? I don't understand. I was like, what's the point of this? And she's like, oh, well, you take it apart. You disassemble it, and then you put it back together. And I was like, what? That's like, that's crazy to me. And so I tried to figure it out. And so I played with it for like, man, I don't know. It took me like, I think maybe a good week, maybe a week and a half, for me to kind of figure it out. But yeah, I was like, I was overjoyed again. Like, I had that same feeling. It was the same feeling when I saw the Rubik's Cube for the first time. I was like, oh man, cool, I figured this out. And then I found out, like, the maker of it. And it was all set in stone from there. They have so many puzzles now. And man, I don't even know how many I've obtained over that time. A lot. I've got a lot of them. And it's something that I actually do on Facebook. So I have this thing to where I had missed last week. Apologize for anyone who missed it. But usually every Wednesday I will post a video of a puzzle. And they're usually just solution videos. So I'll like show you the puzzle and I'll show you on how you can take it apart and how you can put it back together. It mainly just it's funny. I'll give you a little short story on how that stuff started. So it mainly started with when I was kind of waiting for my new job to start. I would just, you know, kind of just chill all the time. And I would just sit there and do puzzles at night and stuff like that when I was bored. And I made a video. I decided I wanted to make a hyperlapse video first. That was the first thing I wanted to do. So I had like this, I can't even think of what the name is, but I have like this wooden puzzle that was gifted to me. And it's just like a bunch of like wooden sticks, I guess, that make like a hashtag, kind of a symbol. Yeah. So it's like that. And, it took me a while to kind of figure it out. And it took me a while to kind of put it together. And I thought to myself, I was like, man, I want to see kind of what this looks like at like fast speeds. And so I did, I set my phone up and I did like a little hyperlapse video of me putting it together, and it went by really quick. And I was like, oh man, that kind of looks crazy. I wonder what it would be like if I did like a bunch of these just in a row. And I think I had maybe 10 or 12 puzzles in one night. And I just set up my phone and I did the hyperlapse video and I took them apart and put them back together, and it was cool seeing that hyperlapse. And I had showed the video, I put the video on Facebook, and people were like, oh, this is really, really cool. I wish I could have seen these more in slow motion. And I was like, oh, that, you know, that's a pretty cool idea. Now, granted, I am not the, you know, entrepreneur when it comes to puzzle videos. That belongs to Chris Ramsey. Chris Ramsey is a very friendly Canadian. And he has a YouTube channel, and he's a magician, actually. And he does puzzles and puzzle videos online and does solutions and stuff like that, and kind of shows you cool puzzles like that. So he's like the king when it comes to puzzle videos. And so is like, Mr. Puzzle and, there's another one. Ross DMs. Yeah, they are puzzle kings, man, when it comes to doing puzzle videos. Like, they have their own YouTube channel for it and stuff like that. And they are really, really awesome. I really just kind of wanted to do something for my personal circle of, like, friends and family. Like, I didn't necessarily think that the world needs me to go out and make puzzle videos online. Or, you know, I just didn't think about it. I left that kind of for them. But I did want to, like, you know, show my friends and family on how to do them in case they were interested. Because I actually did find out I have a few friends who like puzzles. that's kind of how that started. I did one, and I showed them how to do it. I got a positive response, so I did another and another. And it's kind of history from there. Definitely love doing them. I'm definitely going to keep doing them as long as I can. Yeah, it's gonna be pretty amazing. Cool. Moving right along here. Let's see what else we got. Okay, so Michael asks, what's your process for making a song? Good question. The process for me, like, I think when I was younger, it was always so structured. Like, there was so many, like, elements that, like, I felt that needed to be put into place. Like, I needed to get a beat, and I needed to think of this, and I needed to, you know, structure a 16-bar verse, and it had to be, like, it always had to be something where it's like, okay, you have to do, like, an intro that's, like, four to eight bars, and then you do, you know, your 16-bar verse, and then you have an 8-bar hook, and then a 16-bar verse, and then an 8-bar hook, and it just was so, so structured. And the process for me back then was, you know, let's just get a beat and think of a concept and write the song. I think as I've grown older, I think the process definitely changes. Like, I definitely still have those moments to where, like, I'll hear a beat and I'm thinking, ooh, this is, like, a really, really dope beat. I want to do something cool to this. And I'll kind of, like, depending on the beat, like, it may be something to where I have to sit on it for a minute and I'll just kind of listen to the beat. And I'll kind of get that vibe, and I'll figure out kind of what I want things to sound like, or how I would want the sound to go. But there's other times to where, like, I'll hear a beat and I won't have any idea on the song that I have to write. I will literally just start writing. And it's a fun process. I think it really allows you to, you know, use your creativity in a really great way, to where you can just let things flow. Like, not everything has to be in such a structure. But I mean, that's so back in the day. I think with music these days, it's less about structure and just more about making a good track, you know, and just making the music that you want to hear. I think I know a lot of artists that, you know, not a lot, but I have a few artists that reach out to me and ask for advice in doing stuff like that. And I you know, the best thing that I can do is be yourself, man, and, you know, make the music that you want. Don't do it for anybody else. Do it for you. Do what feels good for you. And, you know, if you want to cross that threshold or you really, really want to put your shit out there and you really want people to hear it, then, you know what I mean, focus on, and this was my problem, like, focus on one song. Focus on pushing that song as far as you can push it, and then, you know, once that gets enough traction, then, you know, do more songs and add more onto that. That's something that, if I could go back in time, that's what I would tell myself. I would tell myself, don't worry about the albums, don't worry about trying to do all these albums all the time. Just focus on, like, this one track, and see where that one track takes you. But yeah, my processes now for writing a song, they just vary. They vary on the beat, they vary on my mood, they vary on a lot of different things, so lots of different processes there. Cool. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it. All right, so the next one is from Kyler, and Kyler asks, what car do you drive? So it's such a generic question, it's so funny. I drive a 2006 Chrysler 300. When I first got it, I thought I was, like, the coolest dude in the world. I was like, oh, look at me. I'm, like, such a baller. Look at my dope-ass car. And now, honestly, I really wish I want a new one. I really wish I could get one. It's done me well over the years. I paid it off, so it's mine. I don't have to make any car payments, which is nice, which is one reason probably why I still have it, is because I'm really fearful about going back to making car payments, because making car payments is the worst. And especially in this day and age, like, you know what I mean? I just don't, I don't know. Like, cars are getting, they're so much more expensive than they were back when I was growing up. So I don't even know if I would want it. But I mean, eventually I'll have to cross that road. Like, no car is going to last forever, but, that's my car. I love it. I'm still going to drive it and drive it as long as I can until it boops out on me. So yeah, 2006 Chrysler 300. That's the car I drive. All right, so next question comes from a very good homie of mine, Quinn, who asks, who inspired you as a kid and who inspires you most as an adult? Damn, always so deep. Who inspired me as a kid? I'm going to kind of cheat a little bit. I'm going to do, for who inspired me as a kid, I'm going to do kind of a personal, someone I know, and then I'll do, like, a celebrity, because I definitely have both. On a personal note, to be completely honest with you guys, like, my mom was my biggest inspiration for me as a kid. She seemed like, man, I don't know how to put it, but she seemed like such a superhero. You know what I mean? Like, she felt like, to her, like, you know, I'm sure things were for way different in her mind as she was, you know, growing up. But for me, like, I felt that, like, my mom could do anything. And I think that's how a lot of people feel. But, yeah, literally, I thought my mom could literally conquer the world. And she inspired me to be a good person. Even though I was kind of a brat, still am, but she really taught me to keep a good head on my shoulders and to just generally be a good person and to treat people the way you would want to be treated and to have respect for people. You know, she never strayed from who she was, which is something else that I loved. You know, she's always been very kind and very loving and warming, and she would literally probably give somebody the shirt off her back if she could, if they really needed it. So yeah, just on how compassionate she is that she was able to do all that and still make time for me and give me everything that I could possibly want, within reason, obviously. But yeah, as far as like as far as a like celebrity goes, I would say Eminem was a big inspiration as far as like music wise goes. I think, you know, when I first heard him rap and stuff like that, it blew me away. Still blows me away to this day. Just on the things that he can accomplish and how anyone can really accomplish, if you really put your mind to it and work hard. As far as who inspires me most as an adult, that's a good question, but I would probably say Kendrick Lamar. He's a big inspiration. The fact that he can come like from like, you know, from his background that he is and make it to what he is. You know, he's definitely one of the most important and, you know, influential rappers of our generation. The way he thinks, just the way he goes about his music and his dedication, is dope. Like, I fell in love with freaking, you know, Good Kid, Mad City and all that stuff. And the fact that he, you know, came from Compton, which is dope, because I don't think I would survive if I was in Compton. I mean, I can survive in a hood for a little bit, but man, your whole life, that's crazy. You know, I know that I read that he grew up on, like, you know, welfare and Section 8 housing. And, you know, he was, he went through a lot. But I don't think, what's dope is that he didn't let it break him. You know, like, I remember, man, it was like back in, man, I want to say like 2007, maybe. I remember that he was working with like J-Rock and like Your Boy and The Game and stuff like that. And I think that's where he really kind of, it started to take off, at least from where I noticed. And then I think around like 20, maybe like 2011, maybe like 2010, he did a thing with Tech N9ne. He did like a tour, and just seeing him come up from where he is, he's definitely an inspiration of how I would want to be if I ever got famous to being a rapper. So yeah, definitely that's my inspiration. It's most of the belt. Yeah, thanks, Quinn. All right, so Delina asks, what's your favorite thing to do while being quarantined? I have lots of things that I like to do when I'm quarantined. I am really big in music, obviously, so I will try and write as much as I can. I'm big in the movies. I love movies, so I'm watching a bunch of movies right now. I'm actually in the middle of writing my own movie, so I've been working on that. and I like to do, puzzles when I can. I like to hang out with my dog. He's, definitely a wild boy. I like to paint. I love painting. I recently discovered that. I got some art supplies when I left my job, so I put those to good use and really started getting to that. Jade, by the way, I still have your paintings. But yeah, painting and spending time with my daughter. She, is definitely such a light in my life that I like being around her and playing with her and just kind of, stepping away from, I don't know, stepping away from reality, I guess you could say, and kind of just, I'm my world is her at that moment when she's here. So, yeah, that's what I like to do. I like to do a lot of different stuff and hang with my daughter when I'm quarantined, but at least while I'm home. So, yeah. All right, let's see. Sarah asks, have you ever met anyone famous? Yeah, so I've definitely had, I've definitely met some famous people in my time. I've met rappers. I've met some actors. They're not like super big or anything like that. So no Leonardo DiCaprio or anything like that. But I did meet Stephen King once at a gas station. Let's see. I'm trying to think. Met Tech N9ne a bunch. I'm trying to think if I don't think I really met. I met. I went on a cruise a few years back. And I don't know if you guys watched that show, Breaking Bad at all. But I met, oh man, why am I losing his name right now? It was it was Gomez in Breaking Bad. I met him. I met a lot of people, excuse me, during the Comic Cons that we have here. So I also met, also from Breaking Bad, RJ Mitty. Which was Walt Jr. I met Giancarlo Esposito, who played Gus in Breaking Bad. I met him. I think I met Jeremy Renner. I think I met if you guys watch Supernatural, I met the guy who plays Crowley. I can't remember his name right now. Yeah, I met a bunch of people, but that was always for, something that, you had to pay for or something like that. I think the only one that I didn't have to was Steven at the gas station. Nice guy, super creepy, but super nice. But yeah, quite a few famous people, I guess, but I don't think they know my name or anything. But yeah. All right, let's see what else we got here. All right, okay, so Simon has two questions. He says, what song do you love the most? And what movie do you love the most? Those are hard. That's a hard question, Simon. Those are hard questions. Okay, we'll start with song. Song I love the most? Dude, that's tough because there's so many songs. Yeah, there's so many songs that I've listened to in my day and that I absolutely love. Let me try to give me one second to think. Let's, man, I'm trying to think of one that really, really sticks with me because I have a lot of songs that I like, but I want one that really, really, really sticks. Okay, you know what? Probably, it's so tough. But I will go with The Hills by The Weeknd. That song, when I heard it, I was blown away. Weeknd has, an amazing voice, and a good cadence to his songs. But man, that song, like, it just, like, it hit so hard and it hit me so hard. That and like Earned It was a good one too, but I think The Hills beats Earned It for sure, like out of the ballpark. Yeah, that one's definitely one I love there. But now keep in mind, like, dude, like, there's a lot that I love. I think that's just one of them. As far as movie that I love, again, a hard-ass question, man. I love a lot of movies. But I'll tell you one that I can watch over and over and over again. I think that could count. Remember the Titans with Denzel Washington and Will Patton. Man, that movie is insane. It's bananas. And you know what? I'm not even that big of a football fan. Like, I like football, but I'm not, like, crazy that I don't... If I don't see a game, like, I don't care. It's not gonna bug me. So I'm not that big into it. But, man, I don't know what it was about that movie. Maybe it was Denzel. Maybe it was... I don't know. But that movie was amazing to me. I could watch it over and over and over and over again. I never, ever get tired. It's either that or The Dark Knight. But Dark Knight kind of came later. Remember the Titans, that one's been around for a while. So Remember the Titans, probably the one I can watch over and over again. But I like a lot of movies, man. I've watched so many movies in my day. So yeah, probably Remember the Titans would be the answer to that one. Let's see. Right, so Mary asks, what's your favorite alcoholic drink? Okay, so probably my favorite drink would be probably be a Godfather. So a Godfather is it's pretty simple. It's actually just scotch and amaretto. Any sort of scotch, any kind of amaretto. It's definitely going to taste better with high end stuff. So if you have some like high end scotch and some high end like amaretto, like oh. You're going to, like, be in heaven. At least I would be. you can also add in, they have, like, special, like, syrups that you can get. That's kind of like a filler, I guess, or, like, you know, cocktail mixers. And that really kind of adds to that flavor, kind of gives it a little, kind of a more of a cocktail-y taste. But, I mean, cocktail nonetheless. I actually went to, me and a bunch of work friends, we all went out to the bar one time, and it was this place called Twist, and we went with a big group, and there was me and this other kid, Jared, there, and we were just kind of like, you know, like, oh, well, not very big bar guys, you know, what do you even drink, you know, what can you make? And so we asked the bartender, he's like, yo, you know, what about a Godfather? And we're like, what, a Godfather? I wonder how this is going to taste. And so he gave it to us, and me and him both looked at each other. We're just like, oh my God, this is amazing. And we drank so many Godfathers that night. It was fucking delicious. And funny story, I actually made a song called Godfather dedicated to the drink. And that was on, I think that was on, Human Hollow, I believe, or it may have been on, I'm pretty sure it was on Human Hollow, song called Godfather. If you haven't listened to it, check it out. It's all about that drink, and about all the wonders that come from that drink. That'd be my favorite drink. Now, my favorite, like, liquor, I don't know if I have a favorite liquor. Probably Jameson, if I'm being honest with myself. Jameson was... it always was just go-to. Like, it was good whiskey. I love Irish whiskey. I'm not a big fan of Canadian whiskey, but I'll drink it if it's there, I guess. But I like... like Irish whiskey and I like scotch. Those are my things. So any kind of drinks that you can do with those, I will definitely drink those for sure. Alright, so Jim asks, are you religious? Good question. I would say yes and no. When I was younger, I was brought up in the LDS church. I left it when I was very young. There's a lot of controversy with that. I won't go too much into it, but, I just figured out that that religion wasn't for me. I'm definitely one that does believe in, like, a higher power out there. I think that there's definitely something, like, that there's no way that we can be in this place that we're in and there not be a higher power. I think that I think people are going to believe what they want, but my religion is based on music. Like, I think music is a really powerful thing, and I mentioned this in the previous podcast, but they found, you know, rhythmic patterns coming from space, and music has always been one of those things that's kind of fueled my soul and my heart. So I think music is my religion, and I definitely think that every day. But as far as, like, you know, the standard religions out there, I'm definitely not religious. And I'm not, like, agnostic. Like, I don't think that there's no God or anything like that. But I'm not necessarily, okay, I don't think there's a God. But I do think there's a higher power of some sort out there. It's definitely a tricky subject. And I know everyone's different. And I definitely have respect for all religions. I think that you should do what you want. I think you should just follow your heart and do what you want, you know, and believe what you want to believe. It's rough, man. It's hard. And you always have a lot of people who take a long time to find themselves and to figure out, kind of what they want out of life and what fuels them and what makes them want to be a better person and what makes them happy. So whatever that is, I definitely encourage you guys to follow it and dabble in it as much as you can. You know, like I said, sometimes, you know, you think that you're bound for some religion, but you're not. You know, it's something to where you can do whatever feels right to you. So, yeah, that'd be my question, or my answer. Okay, let's see. Next one, a couple more here before we're done. So this one says, okay, this is from John. It says, if you won the lottery, what would you do? Good question. Typical, but good question. It depends on the size of the lottery, depends on how much, but if it was a big lottery, huge, I would first probably pay off my mom's debt and I would get her like a house and I'd buy her a car. After that, I would treat myself. I'd buy myself a nice house, nice recording studio in it. I'd buy me a super dope car. I would probably put a lot of it in savings for my daughter for college. I would help out many close people to me as I could, friends and family. And then I think I would invest it. I would find something that I would want to invest it in. To grow that profit. And I would definitely put in a lot of money on an album. I think it would, that'd be like the number one thing. Not number one, but you know, the number one personal gains, is just put in a lot of money on my album and just really put in a lot behind it and really push it out there. But that's what I would do. Hands down. Okay, so we have two more quick questions here. This one says, if you were offered to, if you were offered to become a superhero, what would your power be? Huh. Okay. If I was offered to become a superhero, what would my power be? I'm assuming I get to just choose my power. It would probably be to freeze time. Something about that always intrigued me, about people who could, like, freeze time. So that's probably what I would do. Don't know why. I think it's something that I've always wanted to, that I've wanted to do. And I think it'd be really cool. I think a lot of people choose, like, you know, super strength and, like, you know, flying and all that stuff. But now I'm not going to be doing that. Don't want to do it. I would rather just, like, freeze time and just, you know, live in that moment. I mean, you always see, like, remember in, it was the X-Men movie, the Apocalypse, I think. X-Men Apocalypse, where Quicksilver, where he's running around and he's doing all this cool stuff. That seems cool. That seems fun. That seems what I want to do. But yeah, so that's what I'm doing, freestyle. All right, last one here from Chris. Have you ever been on TV? Yes and no, I guess. I remember in school, there was a few things that had happened when I was in school. I think it was particularly junior high, to where we had, like, the local news, like, come on, and like, they would interview students and things like that, and I believe I, like, did, like, one of those deals. But I've never been, like, on TV or anything like that. Funny quick story, before we go. When I was younger, I definitely wanted to be an actor. I always loved acting. I thought it was really, really cool that you can just be anything you want to be. And I remember I had an audition for a show. This particular show was All That. And I did an experience, I did the audition, and I ran into Kenan Thompson, or I didn't run into him, but I saw him and, the audition, and, it was cool, it was really fun, but I think my lack of determination, as a teen definitely broke down, to where I was just young and dumb, and I just felt like I could just do whatever I wanted, and I didn't want to really put my time into anything until I, like, found music. I've always been a lover of music, and I always think it was really something that really inspired me, but I never really got the opportunity to really, like, do it or think that I could do it until I got a little bit older. My mid-teens is when I kind of said, okay, I'm going to fucking do this. I'm gonna do this really hard. Never got a chance to do, like, any actual acting gigs. Hopeful for the future, though. One thing I definitely want to do is I actually want to start directing music videos. In my head, I think I'd be awesome at directing music videos. I always have, like, a cool, like, when I hear a song, I always have a visual of what I would think it would look like and how I would see it. So that's kind of, like, my next endeavor for this next year, once things kind of calm down, is I'm going to kind of still do my music, because music is number one to me. So I'm still going to do that. I'm still going to, you know, stick with the podcast. I think the puzzle video, I think, depending on, you know, the engagement that I get, I think that might be something that dwindles down over time. But in the meantime, I'm still going to do it. But I think going forward, it's going to be music, podcast, and directing music videos. I think that's really why I want to spend my time is doing those things. But no, to answer your question, no. Never been on TV. Never for an acting gig. Well, guys, we've reached the end. We've reached the end of this Q&A. I appreciate every single one of you who sent in questions. Thank you so, so, so much. I don't know if we would have been able to fill an hour if you guys did not send in those questions. So I really, really do appreciate that. Hey guys, let me know if you do like this. If you guys like Q&As, I'm definitely down to do another one here, after a few episodes. Really quickly, Just want to shout out to my page, icyblue.bandcamp.com is where you can find all my music. You can find my latest single on, iTunes and Google Play and Spotify, all that good stuff. You can find me on Facebook, just icyblue, and that's I-C-Y space B-L-U. You can find me on Instagram, ic_blue. You can find me on Snapchat at ic.blue. But thank you again so much for letting me be a part of your lives in this podcast world. And I'm definitely going to be here for many, many more. We're going to end on this segment, which is going to be kind of Star Wars, and we'll move on to different ones. But again, thank you. Thank you so much for joining me here on Blues Talks. And we will catch you on the next one. Stay safe and stay healthy, my friends. I love you.